20 years ago this week, Dr. Lawrence Altman first wrote about a rare form of cancer being diagnosed among homosexual men in New York and California. The story ran on an inside page of the New York Times. The Village Voice ridiculed Dr. Altman's article, calling it the despicable attempt of the New York Times to wreck the July 4th holiday break for every homosexual in the Northeast. In 1981, very little was known about the disease. All Dr. Altman reported was that he and his colleagues at Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan had noticed a pattern of gay men developing a cancer called Kaposi sarcoma and developing severe deficiencies in their immune systems. It wasn't until a year later, 1982, that the Centers for Disease Control gave it a name, AIDS. Dr. Altman is on the phone from Louisville, Kentucky. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. You and your colleagues at the Times were accused of creating a panic at the time with that article. There was other criticism, too.
Oh, there was criticism everywhere you look. There was criticism that we downplayed the first article, that it wasn't a front-page article. There was criticism that we reported it, and there was criticism that we didn't report more. There wasn't more to report at the time. We didn't know enough.
Yeah. The medical community, once more reports began coming out, was very slow to recognize AIDS as an epidemic. What did they think it was? What did they think was going on?
I think they didn't know. First of all, it wasn't apparent, except in retrospect, that it was an infectious agent or a virus from the beginning. And until you had identified an infectious agent, which in this case was a virus, and then had a blood test and laboratory means of marking people who were infected but not ill, that you could begin to determine the magnitude of the outbreak. Until you had that, you had people who quite legitimately proposed in the early years the idea that this was somehow related to poppers or other drugs that a number of gay people were using. There were people who thought a combination of infectious ailments overwhelmed the immune system. That was one theory. Another theory was that a virus that had been long known and was common, cytomegalovirus, might have mutated or in some way caused the illness because it was so prevalent among the first cases and subsequent cases.
And when was it that the public started to take AIDS seriously?
Oh, I think in different degrees, depending what part of the public. I mean, the gay community began to recognize that there was a problem as the 80s went on. Public attention may have focused more when Rock Hudson was identified as a patient. I think the discovery of the virus was more riveting. Then in 1985, I went to Africa to report, I think that was new then, that it was affecting both sexes almost equally and was a real threat to the middle and upper classes at that time. And that's when the real epidemic, from the world's point of view, began to take attention.
So once it became heterosexual, more attention was paid.
Yes, certainly that raised the interest more.
But let me ask you this. The fact that in the beginning it seemed to be mostly homosexual, did that make a difference just in terms of how the disease spread, but also to the ability to find ways to slow it down because maybe people were uncomfortable talking about gay sexuality?
I think all of those are true. First of all, it was a puzzle. In the beginning, why was something affecting only one subgroup? And that wasn't clear. Even if you had an infectious agent, why was it in just one community? And that eventually got resolved when they realized the virus was transmitted sexually among gay people, and then that was just where it happened to first be introduced into society. The attempts to slow it, there were people urging caution from the beginning of using condoms and so forth, and some people heeded that and some people didn't. It certainly was uncomfortable to talk about the use of words other than bodily fluids and being specific, and that was throughout society, certainly among journalists, certainly among doctors, certainly was among public health officials. certainly among the public that didn't want to pick up a breakfast table newspaper or listen on Saturday morning to frank discussions about that, and mm-hmm. they had to learn the hard way.
In the story you did this week in the New York Times, you talked about doctors hoarding information about AIDS research so that they could be the ones first to publish. Are there still these kinds of problems in getting research about AIDS out, that sort of internal medical competition?
I think there's competition for public health issues. It shouldn't be an issue. Journals that have rules that demand exclusive information say they exempt public health situations, but that gets to be a matter of definition. Researchers have a number of reasons on their agenda as to why they want to withhold information. It's not just disclosing it elsewhere. It may be commercial interests. It may be patents. It may be a whole number of factors. But still today, there is the problem of the research and academic community not and potential authors not wanting to discuss their information until it's published, and even withholding information at meetings, because some journals, like the Journal of the American Medical Association, tell people that they are not to tell others that they have submitted them to the journal.
So that they can be the first ones to publish, so they have the exclusive rights to it?
Yes, in terms of in advance, it would preclude discussion or other people hearing about it and then attempting interviews and information getting out beforehand. But it also serves to protect the journal and or the authors, if you wish, of saying that their paper had been rejected, if it came to rejection.
Oh, I see. So that their own reputations would remain intact.
Right.
Dr. Altman, when you first reported this story 20 years ago, did you have a clue that AIDS would take on the dimensions that it has?
No, I don't think 20 years ago this week anyone could have imagined that this would have had the dimensions that it has of so many tens of millions of people infected throughout the world. On the other hand, we knew something was going on, and if it was an infectious agent, and it was in the homosexual community, then there was a theoretical possibility that it could be both homosexual and heterosexual. But I don't think anybody had the foresight of the dimensions at that time. If they did, they certainly didn't say it.
Hmm. Dr. Lawrence K. Altman is a science writer for the New York Times. His first report on the disease that came to be called AIDS was published 20 years ago this week.